John Adams is one of the most performed and influential American composers alive today. Orchestras around the world vie to premiere Adams' work. He is a composer of great range, from full-scale operas like Nixon in China to shimmery electronic songs to thrilling orchestral pieces. In today's Intersections, a series about artists and their inspirations, John Adams spoke with NPR's Ketzel Levine about the music he's found in the written word.
Looking at the picture on the John Adams earbucks, a 10-CD set of the composer's works, you'd think the man was a rock star, sort of an Ivy League Sting. The expression in his close-up is both confident and puzzled, which is very much as he seems. John Adams cannot say what makes his music happen. It could be a chord, a rhythm, even just an image. But more than once, it's been a poem.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I've got it, yeah. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality.
The words are Emily Dickinson's. The music is from Harmonium, John Adams' 1980 work for chorus and orchestra. John Adams chose this subdued and poignant poem because he found it cinematographic.
It's a sequence of images, and they really could be from a film. You know, you see this horse-drawn hearse passing through a small town, and I thought that that was an extraordinary poetic construction, and it got my musical juices flowing.
Harmonium is transcendent in parts, nearly terrifying in others. As a creative artist, John Adams appears to turn no experience away. Recalling chance encounters that have had lasting effects on his music, he has lots of stories. There was the time, as a young boy, an album cover with trees and snow led him into the world of Sibelius. When he was 16, he heard the Duke Ellington Band live. It changed his idea of sound. John Adams' later collision with minimalist music, the language of driving rhythms and repeated notes, took him even deeper into shifting textures and subtle tones. But if not music, the art form he's found most persuasive is poetry. He calls it strange and unknowable, two of John Adams' favorite words. In Harmonium, there is a second Emily Dickinson poem for the composer. Wild Nights was an invitation to let go.
Because it seemed like a Mick Jagger lyric or a Tina Turner. Here it is. Wild nights, were I with thee, wild nights should be our luxury. Futile the winds to a heart and port, done with the compass, done with the chart. Rowing in Eden, ah, the sea, might I but moor tonight in thee. Maybe not Tina Turner, but I mean, the idea is just these ejaculations of ecstasy, of words and phrases.
Words and phrases now electrified by sound. In its breathless abandon and its grab at delight, Wild Nights hit home.
It very much reminded me of, you know, my favorite rock bands, you know, like Cream or Jefferson Airplane.
In its exuberance, is that what reminded you of them?
Well, it's exuberant, but it's a rebellion. You know, she's saying, done with the compass, done with the chart. In other words, I don't need to follow the rules.
The idea of open rebellion resonates with John Adams. As a student, he detested dissonant 12-tone music. It sent him running to the West Coast and into the arms of sumptuous harmonic sound. In some ways, his music is as influenced by the art he's rejected as the art he's embraced. Today, John Adams is working on a new opera, Dr. Atomic. Like Nixon and China, it centers on an archetypal figure, this time physicist Robert Oppenheimer. But unlike the way he's worked with his previous operas, John Adams is not commissioning a libretto. Instead, in parts, he's using poetry. And on the day we talked, he was working with a poem called Easter Eve, 1945, by American poet Muriel Rukeyser.
And there's an image in the poem that I locked into very early on, which is: moon of this wild sky struggles to stay whole, and on the water silvers the ships of war. And that image just simply caused my flesh to crawl right up my back.
And what did you do with the music there, might I ask?
I wish I could tell you. I'm struggling right now. I'm in that period of beginning a piece that is intensely painful. I have to look and say, oh yeah, I'm the composer who wrote all these pieces and won all these prizes, and here I am, an incompetent, hopeless idiot. You know, one has to be willing to strip naked and look at your sagging psychological physique. I don't want to draw this metaphor too far, but you literally have to be willing to just go back to square one with every piece.
Inevitably, by feeling he has nothing to fall back on, John Adams has no choice but to push ahead. He expects to complete Dr. Atomic by the summer of 2005. Ketzel Levine, NPR News.
To hear more of Ketzel's interview with John Adams, visit the NPR website at npr.org.